Come and see. I think these are my new three favorite words. Come and see. They feel good and right because of what they generate. Hope, promise, excitement, and an eagerness to share something of value or worth. Whether said to a friend or by a child or from a stranger, they are wonderful words of invitation. Come and see. They also imply relationship. These are words that need more than just one person. They need other. And they can ignite excitement and curiosity and wonder. Come and see. They also feel good and right because of what they are missing. They are not laden with guilt or pressure or a sense of obligation or univocal answers or implied rigid compliance. Come and see. These three words are simple and warm and worthy of a special place, I think, in our lexicon of phrases that we might choose as a first response to questions like, can anything good come out of Trinity today? Come and see. And then, when placed in the context of this morning's gospel from John, they are not only beautiful and engaging as an invitation, they are also infused with possibility of discovering community, as well as something beyond our wildest imaginations. Come and see. These words, this invitation, also form the heart of the entire gospel according to John. Unlike the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who all present an overall telling or synopsis of the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, the gospel of John is singularly focused. John is intent on, dare I say, obsessed with having his listeners fall in love with Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, while unique in ways, all present a more or less similar ordering and telling of the story of Jesus' ministry. They are inspiring accounts, of course, but John is different in so many ways. I want you to picture a very, very old man near the end of his life, living alone on an island with one last dying wish. A desire to write about the love he had found by traveling with and living with Jesus for three very short but wonderful years. Think about every love letter you have ever written, and whether or not you consider yourself a poet or an artist, something about love letters bring that out in us, and it certainly did in the case of John. Verse after verse in the Gospel of John, we have full and beautiful images and metaphors painting a picture of exquisite love and devotion for what and who changed his life. That's the Gospel of John, one long, poetic, extended, and winding love letter to us, sharing his absolute adoration of and transformation by Jesus, and a love expressed through the fellowship that he found living as a disciple in community. So it is in with that context that we turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel and the verses that we just heard. The verses for today are the second half of a story found in each of the Gospels, known better as the calling of the first disciples. So before we get to today's verses, I want to briefly recap what has just happened before, as we heard, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. To understand or to remember the context of this morning's story, we have to start 3 days earlier before we get to Galilee. 3 days before, the Jews had sent priests from Jerusalem to grill John the Baptist, not to be confused with our love letter writing John the Apostle, to grill John the Baptist about who he was. Was he the Messiah? And if not, then who was he? And he explains in those early verses that he is the one that came to point to the one that is yet to come. Day two. The next day, John the Baptist spots Jesus walking towards him and says, "Hey, everybody, there he is. That's the guy I'm talking about." Next day, then after that, John the Baptist is standing with two of his disciples. At the time, Jesus walks by again, and once more, John the Baptist testifies to this guy, "This is the one you've been waiting for," and go off and tells these two disciples to follow him. Jesus, meanwhile, realizes that he's being followed, and he stops and he turns around and he says to these two disciples, "What are you looking for?" They ask him where he is staying. And what do you think he says to them as the answer to that question? "Come and see." And so they go with him and spend time with Jesus. And then one of the two of them, who was eventually to become his disciple, Andrew, went and got his brother, Simon, convinced him that he had found the Messiah, and that the two of them, on the very next day, go with Jesus to Galilee. Now you're up to speed. So today, we have Jesus, who first calls Philip, who then in turn goes off and finds what I like to call naysayer Nathanael, who upon hearing Philip's witness to what he has found, is that oh-so-wonderful response that you have heard, something akin to, "Say what? You are talking about Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth, right? Are you sure? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" To which Philip offers what I must say is such a brilliant response. Did you hear it? When faced with the cynical or doubtful or maybe fear-based response of Nathanael, rather than argue or engage in a debate, he says my favorite words. Say them with me. "Come and see." Isn't that great? I tell you, these are some of the most amazing stories once we can push past some of what has kept Scripture at arm's length for many of us. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus does a fabulous job, kind of in a martial arts way, redirecting Nathanael's negative energy. And they all get on the same page, and then they're off to change the world. So when we look at the story of the calling of these first disciples, I think that John structures this story in a way to underscore that there are a variety of ways that people come to Jesus, as it was. Each person has a chance to figure out for themselves, to come and see for themselves. Remember, Grandpa John, in his bed, probably on Patmos Island, is writing this love letter to remind us of however the way is, that there is a love waiting for us. And so across the pages of John's entire gospel, there are women and men, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, powerful and vulnerable, people of all shapes and sizes and varieties that come to know Jesus. And to each one, in one way or another, I think that Jesus is saying the same thing. Come and see. Come and see God do a new thing in your life. Come and see as your future opens up before you in new ways. Come and see the grace of God made real and tangible and accessible in a way you might not have known before. And in response, some take up that invitation and follow, while others are puzzled or confused or simply do not believe Jesus' offer. And some not only follow, but then invite others to follow as well. Come and see. So that leaves us here today, also and always being called to come and see, again and again. It is what John hopes we will be about here in this place, I believe, in the months and years to come. A community willing to fall in love with the source of all that ever was and will be, complete with all the highs and lows inevitable each time we risk being vulnerable to each other. I think we're given this story today in order to pattern our lives and our love, informing our decisions and our priorities as a community of faith. And I wonder if we can be courageous enough to recommit ourselves to following the one who does call us by name. If we can live the lives that Jesus is yearning for us to come and see, and then at the same time, in ways that are meaningful to us, extend that invitation for others to come and see as well. To me, responding to Jesus' call and the invitation to come and see is all about trust. Trusting in ourselves enough to let go and fall in love. That's what I feel is starting to happen here at Trinity, both inside and outside of these walls. Trinity has been here on this street corner for 175 years, yes, but just maybe we are ready to turn the page of this ministry together and start writing a new chapter. And maybe we could simply title that chapter, Come and See. We've started down a path together, trying to listen, trying to respond faithfully and courageously. I recently read that trust is about the fruit of a relationship in which you know you are loved. Jesus, through John's love letter, is calling us into a loving and trustful relationship, not a blind faith, not an unexamined life, not a quiet submission to the status quo. For some, the response to this call is immediate, and for others, it may take much longer. I think that both and everything in between are valuable and worthy. I've heard beautiful stories of discipleship here at Trinity already, and I hope to hear many more. Some began with a big, clear yes, while others seem to be sparked by small, incremental flickers of light, day by day by day. What I know of discernment and call is that there is no one-size-fits-all, and that faith continues for a lifetime, growing in each of us. And the invitation to come and see doesn't have an expiration date. There is no time in which that invitation is no longer available. And the first step towards that invitation is to hear it. So may we listen well together, my friends, and as a community filled and fueled by the Holy Spirit, know that when others ask, "What good could come out of Trinity?" we simply and authentically, with no agenda, say, "Come and see." May it be so.